Welcome to The Future is Female Powerlifting. A show where women of all strengths can explore the world of female powerlifting. I am your host, Heidi Donnell, a 60-kilo powerlifting gym owner, and each episode we bring you an inspiring interview or message to help you unlock your true inner strength potential. Thanks for tuning in. Aloha, my beautiful friends, and thank you for joining me for our episode number 4 of The Future is Female Powerlifting. And I am joined today with our fabulous guest, hailing all the way from Kentucky. Yes, y'all know Kentucky. We're fixing to have some whiskey. That is my very, very shitty accent. And if you don't know what fixing to is, then you don't know the South. Okay, I learned a lot of things living here, and that has to be my favorite line that I hear. You know, I'm fixing to do this, I'm fixing to do that. I just love it. I really embrace the South, and I think I should have been reincarnated into like Paula Deen's casserole dish because the food here is amazing. We get into it with Miss Shayna Miller. And if you guys don't know who Shayna is, she is a fabulous tiny, I say tiny because we're both about the same height, powerlifter all the way from Kentucky, like I said. And let me give you a breakdown of her lifts. So Shayna lifts in she has competed in 4 different weight classes. She's competed in 12 different meets over the last 5 years. She started off as a junior, and her last meet she finished at, she competed at the 132 weight class. She squatted 414 in reps, benched 235, and deadlifted 385 for 1,035 total. That is a 543 Wilks, dude. And I would love to have those numbers because that is my weight class. And having 1,000 total is an amazing, amazing achievement for that weight class. And I know that was something she was chasing for a while. One of the things we get into on our show is her history. Where did she get started with powerlifting? How she got into it? And I think it would be interesting to hear how her husband, who owns Iron Mafia Gym and Four Brothers Gym, they start off with very humble beginnings. It'd be really cool to hear how that started. One thing I love that we talk about is running meets. Now, there isn't a lot of women out there who do run meets, mostly men. And I think it's something that I've always been interested in because I do run events. And getting into it and hearing a little bit more of the behind the scenes of what happens and what needs to happen in order to make it successful, it really can, I hope, shed some light for all of you who might be interested in doing that. So we get into it about plastic surgery, ladies. Yes, we talk about a boob job. We both have one, and she's been very open about her healing process and trying to train through it and you know what she's gone through. And we talk a little bit about, can you train while you have a boob job? Is it harder? Is it easier? Well, let's hear about that. We touch base about her bodybuilding prep, her diet, her nutrition, her training, how a powerlifting background built that shredded ass body that she had on stage. We learn a little bit more about what it took for her. And to wrap things up, we hear a little bit more about what's in store for Iron Mafia, Four Brothers Gym, and her husband. She gets into his recovery from a very bad injury that he recently had and where they think they'll be going with everything. I love, love, love the dynamic that she has with her husband. And if you don't know about their dynamic, you just need to pop in on their Instagram. They are so sweet and so loving to each other. I'm just a sucker for a good love story. So let's get into it with Shayna. I guess first, how's your husband doing?
He has made a lot of progress in the last week or so. He went Monday before last back to Knoxville.
Okay.
And they took the staples out. And from there on, he just made a lot of progress as far as like walking with the walker. He started PT.
Wow.
He's actually able to kind of get in and out of bed still. He kind of does have to have somebody with him. He's hoping that we can go back to our house here next, you know, few weeks. So we have a follow-up. This coming up Monday. So,
what exactly did happen? Like what tour or?
So he was at a powerlifting meet, and this was kind of a meet he was doing in a way just for fun. Mm-hmm. He's at that point that he's at such a high level, but he can easily total 2,000 just usually any given time. That's just how he is. Mm-hmm. So he was actually on his third attempt squat for, he was just doing 800. And when he was in the hole, His quad tendons, both of them, tore off of his knee. And then the right quad also split straight up.
Jeez. So when I was looking at the posts, I wasn't sh I couldn't watch the video. I
He
can
still
only
has.
yes. And I was just gonna say that I had read a post that he, I think it was his last post, and he was it was a picture of him on the floor, and he was pretty much talking about how horrific it was. And what I found enlightening about what he wrote was there was no I guess machismo to it. It was very sort of intimate and real. Like, it was the worst experience I've ever had. I would never wish this on anybody. I still can't watch the video. Not like, fuck this, I'm gonna be back. I think that's also good to have that mentality at some point, but it was almost refreshing to see a man be very, real about what happened and how devastating it was for him. And I, you
Yeah,
know.
we both know that, and I really feel like it should be more his place to tell people rather than mine.
Right.
But this injury is a career ender, basically. And I'm not saying that because he's scared. It's not like a bicep tear. We've had plenty of people that's torn biceps. You tear that and it reattaches, you usually don't have to worry about tearing again. This injury is a lot more high risk. And there's not many guys that I know. They do pursue other things, whether it be like bodybuilding or some kind of other sport, but they never lift heavy like they was on. If they do, they usually have, more injuries or issues. So
Right. Yeah. I
it's
mean, that's
hard.
huge. That's huge. I just love that your guys' dynamic, though. And I don't know you personally, like in person. And I always say this, but like when I read you guys' posts, there's something just very special about your relationship. And you're both, I mean, when he has pictures of you hugging in that video, I swear, the video of him deadlifting when he came back and he was bent over on the bar and you came over, your friends came over, everybody was like huddled around him. It was such a powerful couple seconds of a video that I saw. See, that's the beauty of powerlifting and what it can do, how it unites everybody. And the feeling that he probably had was like so immense, to come back and come back and it was so overwhelming for him, to have that moment right there. And I thought that that was such a beautiful, beautiful expression of what powerlifting probably is for him and for both of you.
Yeah, that meet was extremely special for him for multiple reasons. His goal wasn't even to hit 2200 or more. He hit ended up doing 2204, which is 1,000
Wow.
kg. And I think there is, I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but 60 something people in the world that has that total or
Wow.
better. And I think 60 something, I mean 40 something of them in the United States. I could be wrong. He knows those numbers, not me. But yeah, that meet was just really special for him, and so that's what that deadlift gave him, that 2204. And like I said, he didn't even go into that meet plan on doing that. He was like lowballing, wanting to do mid 2100s, but me and Josh Morris was telling him, you got 22.
That's
So
awesome. I mean, that was fantastic. I love seeing that. And so I had been following you guys for a while, and I was like, man, you guys just you do it all. Like, I love that, and that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to, have this conversation with you, because I feel like there's a lot of women who are trying powerlifting and bodybuilding and maybe trying to make it a business as well and sort of in the field and maybe don't know other people who are in that field. And I certainly don't. There's very few women that I know that are trying to have a gym or work in the fitness field or have tried both things. And it's funny because when I was like, let me just make sure that I have all your numbers down. But it is crazy that you totaled 1035, right? At 132 pounds. And I know you had said that you've only been training for, I mean, powerlifting for the last 5 years, but in 5 years, you've done 12 meets. That's crazy. That is so crazy. And when I was looking at your numbers, I was like, your very first meet, you're a junior, right?
Yeah, which my first meet is not actually listed, so it would be 13 meets actually.
13. Okay, right. Yeah, I have a couple that are not listed on mine too because they were just like non-sanctioned and like whatever. But yeah, your first meet, I guess that was listed. You had a 225 squat, a 121 bench, and a 237 deadlift. And this is like that moment where I'm like, you know what? Anybody can start anywhere, because then you finished with a 414 squat, a 235 bench and a 385 deadlift at 132, which is freaking phenomenal because those are the numbers I would love to be chasing because that is my weight class.
My proudest moments in powerlifting because I started off, I mean, I've actually competed and been competitive in 5 different weight classes.
Wow.
Now, when I went 32, that was just a, I'm a little heavy right now. Let's just go do it and have fun and feel total. Yeah. That's kind of what that was.
Yeah.
But, you know, I broke the all-time world record squat in total at 97 pounds. I think it was my third meet. Mm-hmm. I really broke it on the third meet. The second meet, I actually broke it. And then I was actually, when I totaled 1,000 pounds, I had came back from a bodybuilding show. And that was initially when I totaled 1,000. And I did it actually all on second attempts, believe it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was, at that time, the second lightest woman to total 1,000. So wow. That made me feel pretty good.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, your names were listed in the rankings. I mean, you're at the Pro AM. I mean, you're lifting with some big name people. And I think it's fantastic. And let's get into that a little bit. So you had started out with powerlifting, and we were talking about it, that you're in nobody can see you right now. You know, our listeners can't see you, but you're in the home where it actually started, in the place where you guys started powerlifting. Let's talk about that a little bit. So how did it start off there?
So they actually started Iron Mafia about in 2010. My husband started it. And what they did, I didn't join Iron Mafia until about 2013. So what Mark and his four brothers did, or three brothers, it's called Four Brothers Gym, yes. Iron Mafia powerlifting team. They didn't have a basement in his mom's house. They took a bulldozer and they dug out the dirt. And they made a gym.
Shut up. That's what they did?
Yes. that's definitely a mother's love right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so we was down here for years. And what we did, we built a gym. But the gym was built from the ground up by powerlifting meets from the ones that we hosted. So we don't owe anything on that now.
That's fantastic. So,
but it took them, you know, almost 10 years to go from, you know, nothing, a little basement to a gym and meets. So
that's fantastic. So how many, so was that the idea going in, like, hey, we need to fund this somehow. We can only fund it so much from our own money. Let's start hosting some meets. Is that how it sort of came about?
Mark was kind of, I guess you can say, the founder of it, and his brothers followed. And they just honestly, they just started doing meets, just competing, being competitive. And like, I remember, well, I don't remember, I wasn't there, but he tells me stories. Like one of his first meets was with all the Bridges when, you know, Eric was still, well, Eric is still young, but when he was real young, you know, teenager. So, I mean, that's how far back he goes. And it just, like, when I first started, kind of training down here, that's when they were kind of already getting into meet. They was hosting meets, and helping them through the SPF with Jesse Rogers. That's where they kind of learned how to do everything and host them. And then they just kind of slowly developed from there.
Yeah, and how many meets do you guys hold now?
Now, this past year, I think we had like 15 or 16 maybe.
Wow.
And that's across, like, we went to Arkansas once, and then Kentucky, Ohio, Indiana. We go to North Carolina. That's it right now. We did do one in Mississippi one time, and then we did go all the way to Port St. Lucie once in Florida.
Wow. Yeah. So you guys are, are you meet directors? Is that how it goes? Because you're part of with SPF, right?
We're with RPS now.
RPS. Okay. That's right. And so you kind of just go around and you host meets at different locations.
Yeah. We don't completely have control over Kentucky because, River City, they host meets through RPS also.
Okay.
In Kentucky. So we try not to conflict with them, but they only do like, I think 2, maybe 3 a year, and they stay in the same spot. We go all the way, like all the way to Paducah, Louisville, Lexington. We go a lot of different places in Kentucky. So we usually don't counteract with each other. And then we've got one in really far upper Ohio. So usually we don't kind of get in the way of anybody else.
Right.
North Carolina, North Carolina is as our state as well.
Okay. Wow. So let me ask you this. What has changed for you, maybe as somebody who's done meets? How has it evolved to what it is now? Because I would think if you're holding that many meets, you got it down. You know, you're holding it down. You know what to do. You got a system. You got the people. You got the equipment, everything set up. So how has that changed over the years?
It takes a lot of people to run this show. Like I said, it's the four brothers and the wives. Wow. So there's like seven of us. And if we need spotters and loaders or something, that's when the gym comes into play, the people at our gym. Usually when we go out of state, that's provided for us. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I remember the first meet that I did of theirs was a bench only in Somerset, Kentucky. They didn't even have like the actual lights. It was just little After that, there was the first, the numbers that you write off was in a Lexington meet at a CrossFit gym. And just from the weights, the equipment, like at that time, we didn't have calibrated plates, mm-hmm. you know, nothing like that. Now when we run the show, all the monos are the same, all the benches, everything is the same from the warm-up room to the platform. Like, we keep it that professional because that's how we want, because we're lifters. It's like our motto is, you know, lifters for the lifters.
Right. Right. No, to completely. And I think that that's important. And, you know, I like the USPA. I've competed with SPF. But that is one of the things I like. There's just consistency, you know, and, I ref with the USPA and I like that. I know, you know, there's always going to be, you know, discretion between meet directors or things that are going to be different when you go to one meet to another. But for the most part, if it's all the same, you know, if you know that, hey, every time I go to Iron Mafia's, I'm always going to have this rack. I'm going to have these rack heights. I don't have to worry about, you know, what the setup is going to be like or how they're, if they're going to have enough racks to warm up. I think those kind of things are super important. And that's what makes somebody successful is there's consistency with that. And you guys you keep doing it. People still keep coming.
Yeah, we know what lifters want just because we're lifters. And I mean, Mark and I have done some really awful meets and we've done some really great things. And I mean, I've warmed up on bench one time with a deadlift bar because I didn't have a bench bar, you know, I mean.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but that's just one thing, you know, we also, our lifters, as far as in our gym, can get a little spoiled to our meets. And we tell them, you need to go out and somewhere else, go out of your comfort zone and compete at these other meets.
Yeah.
You know, the Pro-Am, me and Mark did Rum once. He did a little meet in Georgia. I mean, we've been everywhere competing. And that's what makes you a really good lifter is when you get outside of that comfort zone and experience something that you're not used to.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, I think people do get that.
Yeah, most power lifters in general, they don't have that luxury of having, oh, my gym hosts meets, you know.
Yeah.
They have to experience a different meet director all the time.
Yeah, and it's funny because now, you know, we have our own gym, right? And we're in Huntsville, Alabama. My husband and I own one. And so I was like, dude, I'm going to have everything that I've always wanted, you know. We're going to have a flex bar. We're going to have camber bars. We're going to have, you know, specialty things. And it's funny because there's not a lot of places. There's a few places around us that have good equipment, like Vortex and they're for powerlifters, so they have a mix. But I have people that, you know, step up to the deadlift bar and they're like, I've never had a flex bar before. Yeah. It really does whip. Like, but I think it's important. Like you pull from a stiff bar, once you get to that deadlift bar, that's going to be a whole different story. And it's, you know, it's a positive thing, but I think that that's super important that you got to be able to not be so high maintenance at the same time. I feel like now sometimes I'll see people who are like, oh, you know, the warm-up room was so cold and, you know, like, oh, I didn't have my right sleeves on or my belt was, you know, whatever. I'm like, dude, but you just got to lift it sometimes. You know, you can't make those kind of excuses all the time. That's not how it goes, you know? And I feel like it's too much babying that might be going on. And it's like, you got to be a little tough, you know, you don't want to be that person that is always making sort of excuses or you got, you know, I understand that you want to be prepared and you want to have the right things when you are competing, of course, but there is something to say about somebody who just doesn't give a fuck, you know? And like, you know, there's a guy that comes to our gym with his girlfriend and great couple, super cool people. And, though I don't agree with this and he would laugh listening, you know, he might have deadlifted the other day and his program has him not deadlifting today. But since we're all together, he's like, fuck it, let's go. And there's something to that attitude of like not caring a little bit and just kind of going for it, you know. But yeah, that's a great, I think, tip to a lot of people is being flexible with that. And even for a lot of women, too, is not being afraid to just go in and try different things.
That's why since I started powerlifting, like when I first started coming to Iron Mafia, there was two girls here. Okay.
Wow.
And, which one of them was Caitlin Trout. She was basically the IT powerlifter at the time. She was the world record holder at 123. Everybody wanted to be her. And then we had Kelly Allen, who is now Kelly Miller. She's kind of honestly the backbone of Iron Mafia as far as her meets.
Wow.
But She, you know, if you've ever watched any of her videos, at that, you know, before she had kind of got an injury, I mean, she would have probably been the first woman to deadlift 600, but she was, I've got videos of her deadlifting 525 for doubles and triples and
Jeez.
squats five over five. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, here I am, you know, soaking wet, 95 pounds, and I, you know, this is what I've got. You know, so that was definitely motivation. But from when we started, now we almost outweigh the men in our gym now as far as females. And then when you go to powerlifting meets, if we have a big meet like in Louisville, an 80, 90 lifter meet, you know, 30, 35 of that's going to be females.
Yeah, you know, this is the one thing that I, you know, kind of spawned the title of this podcast is the future is female powerlifting, and it's a little knock on the ode to, you know, like the future is female, kind of the feminist movement we have going on. But it's more so because I feel like this has really been the last couple of years where you see a really explosion. And if you're a meet director and you have seen the transition of women, like you're talking about right now, just in your own gym, but how many women are like entering meets? I mean, there's so many women. And whereas before there might be maybe less than five, now we're having like 20 to 30 people, you know, in a 60, almost 50% of them could be women at a lot of our meets, which is amazing. But why do you think that is? Why do you think it's taken off like that?
Honestly, I'm not really sure, but I just think that there's a lot of women out there. Like, I know that when I started powerlifting, it was just kind of a darker time for me. And basically, at that point, all I had was my kid, and I wasn't happy with anything else in my life. And it made me happy, and it made me feel strong. And strong was a much better feeling than trying to look a certain way. And plus, too, you know, there are women that's competitive and athletic. And the great thing about powerlifting is you don't have to look a certain way to do it. You just got to be strong. And that mentality of strong is sexy or strong makes you feel good is what has drawn so many women to it.
So let me ask you this. So when you talk about a dark time, what kind of do you mind getting into that a little bit? What was that for you?
So for me, I think I was 21, between 20 and 21, you know, I was working at a gym, you know, fitness little girl, you know, I knew what I should be doing, but I was basically a borderline alcoholic. And then I had fought with bulimia off and on for multiple years at that point. So what happened, fast forward, I ended up getting pregnant. So when I was pregnant, though, obviously I wasn't drinking or nothing or being bulimic, but I was actually the healthiest I ever was when I was pregnant. I had a great pregnancy, great delivery. And then after I had him, I did not obviously take back up the drinking, but I was very unhappy with a lot of things because I hadn't finished school, I didn't have a career. Single mom, you know, so I'm just sitting here like I didn't really have a lot going. Before I had him, I was considering powerlifting, me and a friend. I was kind of getting into it, but also with everything else going on, you know, you kind of can't be successful. So that's why I say, you know, fast forward a little bit. My first meet that I actually did was a NASA meet in 2013, and I did it completely by myself. You know, my son was, I think, like 7 or 8 months old.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I think I deadlifted maybe 200, and I think I squatted 175, 170, but I did bench like 215 though. Well, not 215, 115. So,
That's good.
but yeah, I've kind of always been a natural like bencher, even though it sucked at the beginning. But I was really little, you know, I weighed in like 100 pounds soaking wet. So that's kind of how I got started. But all of that, like, honestly, having my son got me out of the mindset of the whole being bulimic thing. And then when I took the powerlifting up, that's when I knew how to eat. I just didn't do it right. That's when I actually started to love myself and to love the food I was eating and to learn to fuel my body with the food rather than actually, you know, trying to just look good. So,
Right.
and
That's
the most positive I've been has been from the time that I've started powerlifting, you know, till now. And then right now, I mean, I'm a lot softer right now because I haven't been lifting for several months because of everything that's been going on.
right.
But this first time I've took a break in like over 10 years. Okay, but I'm still confident because I know how to get back to where I was.
So I know that you have been public about your breast augmentation. And I was like, I'm happy to see that because I've got mine done too. And I don't think that there's a lot of discussion about that. I don't know. I think some women are like, well, I don't need them for, you know, powerlifting. Of course you don't. So what was your decision to get them?
Well, I have wanted them for a very long time. I wanted them since I think I was like 19 or 20.
Yeah.
I was just scared, honestly. And then once I started powerlifting, plus I knew I wanted to have a baby, which I already did that like 6 years ago. But I wanted, ever started powerlifting, I still wanted them. It was just, I am 4'10". I'm a small girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I did my show prep, I was looked the best I ever had. I was super, super lean, but I felt like a little boy. Let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you lose your boobs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just always wanted them, but I was too scared. And then when I started powerlifting, I'm not going to lie. This was my reason. I did not want to give up my bench press.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of powerlifters' reasons. I think there's a lot of women in strength sports that think that same thing. Because what are you doing right now? You're taking off. You have to.
Yep. So, I mean, I had them done actually the very first week of June, and here it is. It's been, you know, 4 months. Everything went great, and not everybody knows, but about 8 weeks from my surgery, after I had my surgery, my left one had in the scar had a little bit of a hole. So he had to actually recut me open and stitch me back up.
Oh, shut up.
Put my recut back. Now, I mean, I'm still not lifting yet just because I'm waiting on my husband. Mm-hmm. We're just going to start together. When he can do upper body and stuff, we'll start going. And I did tell him when we were back to the house, I'm going to go ahead and start my cardio back. But that's why I say, like, I had my boobs done, and then he got hurt. So it just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, it's the same testament for me was I had gone, when I decided to get him done, I almost had a similar kind of passes you. I went through a very bad divorce. So it was like a very bad divorce. I had a very bad ending, and I was pregnant when we were going through our separation. So I had went through just total mind, you know, still trying to work, still trying to actually keep it quiet for a long time until I knew it was like, he didn't want to work it out. And that changed me. It was really difficult for me. I developed anxiety. I had to go see a therapist. My father was going through cancer at the same time. So it was a very like health moment was like just all over the place, you know? And that was a pivotal moment for me. Cause after I had her, I was like, I don't want to leave my daughter without a father and without a mother. You know, like my dad, I ate just like my dad. Like my dad is super cool. We've always been super close. My parents were very close, but I ate like him, you know, like we go anywhere. I have memories of me and my dad at McDonald's. And I always laugh at this. I go, Dad, I have more memories of us eating at McDonald's than I do at home. Like, because my mom was a principal. So he was a teacher, and he would pick me up, and he would be the first to kind of cook dinner. Well, a lot of times it's just me and him. My older brothers were already out of the house. And so we were going to McDonald's. So I had a lot of fear after I had my child, thinking like, I have to better myself, my fitness, whatever. So I just started really training all the time. And then I met my husband, and he had a daughter. So we kind of became friends. And then, you know, that sort of went off from there. But at some point I was like, you know, I was lifting, but it wasn't, of course, nothing with any kind of structure. I was following whatever was in like not Cosmo, but like Muscle and Fitness or whatever was bodybuilding.com. You know, I'll try this workout. And, you know, I was training at home with a 25-pound dumbbell sometimes. And, I didn't have anybody to watch her as I go. So I got really skinny, and I got super skinny. And I look back now and I was like, dude, I was really skinny. And I thought, oh, I'd have some muscle. No, I was like all that fat that I had before that I thought, oh, I just have big traps. No, that was just fat. Cause when I lost it, I was skinny. So I was like 115, which is not necessarily skinny, cause I'm only 5'1". So 115 is not like skinny, but I looked really like flat, super flat. And I had already had a baby, and it was like, they look like empty bananas, you know, like that look where you're like, oh, that's just so gross. And that was my reason. I just wanted to I liked how it looked actually when I was pregnant. You know, I was like, oh, this is what it would look like if I had fake boobs. Like, this is amazing. You know, it just had something there. And so I ended up getting it. And I do get people, you know, asking me like, does that affect your benching? You know, how's it doing? I guess I don't know anything else because I've always had them since I really started training, you know?
I've had some people that's had theirs done that reached out. Like, I'm talking women that's been doing the sport for, you know, 10 years or so. Mm. And they said, you know, a lot of them said that, you know, it's never affected their bench. You know, they come back and they just took it slow. And then you know, I've got some women that it does. I just think it depends on your mentality, the training, who you're with, and, you know, of course, the surgeon that you had.
Yeah.
I wanted my very natural looking, and then, of course, I went under the muscle.
Yeah.
So certain movements, you know, my chest muscles move and everything moves, and it's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I'll come back fine. If I never bench over 235, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I say that, and, you know, but you never know. But I don't know. I look forward to getting back and seeing what I can do.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah, so do I. I, you know, I went under the muscle, too, and now, like, I'm probably due for my next one in, like, a couple years. And I'm thinking, like, do I want to go over? Because the one thing I do have that I don't like is that they kind of push out. You know, they're not that nice cleavage look. So I almost feel like if I'm standing straight, you can just see them on the side. And I think part of that is my structure, of course. You know, it's just everybody's going to have their own structure to it. But it is funny how you can see it move. So if I flex my boobs, I forgot that, like, flexy, I can do that, you know, where you can flex the chest muscle. And I'm like, one goes up and one goes down. It's kind of crazy, but I definitely saw that before. I also, before I had them done, one was, you know, the musculature was just a little different to begin with. So that's interesting though. But yeah, I wanted to talk about your training for bodybuilding. So okay. What motivated you to do it from powerlifting?
I was basically just kind of, my body needed a break from powerlifting, not mentally, just my body. I was having a really weird issue with my hamstring on the right side. I was in meet prep for, I think, the third pro-am I had done in Ohio, and every time I went to pull 315 or more off the floor, it just felt like my hamstring was going to rip off. And here I was, like, 8 weeks out from the women's pro-am, didn't know if I was going to be able to do it and stuff like that. I went to a massage therapist, and she pinpointed, like, my actually abs were not firing, so she had took her fingers and pressed into my neck. And it turned and activated my abs on because it was shutting the nerve endings off of that leg.
Mm.
And immediately she told me to go back, deadlift, see how it feels, you know, do some ab workouts. Because she was like, you don't do ab, or she said that, how'd she say it? She said, you got weak abs. Do you not ever do them? I said, no, I do them all the time. but they never got sore. And that was, you know, an indication right there. And I just didn't think about it. You know, I'm still fairly young, you know, right, in the sport. So anyways, she fixed that. And I still had, you know, some, it was 90% better. Let's just put it that way. So I toughed it out. I finished my prep. I went to the pro-am. Mentally, though, deadlift messed with me a lot for at least a year afterwards. But that's why I decided. I just felt like my body physically needed a break. So that's why I decided to do a physique show. That's something I always wanted to do.
You looked phenomenal. Shredded as fuck. Like, you looked... Well, so good. I remember looking at those pictures, and there's that one of you, and you're just doing the back, the tricep, right? You're doing a back tricep, and I was like, damn, look at the insertion. Everything looked fantastic.
Well, my thing is, like, powerlifting built that body. That right. body had not went through any bodybuilding prep except for the prep I did to get ready for the show. So, of course, at that time, everything was complete bodybuilding style.
Right.
Donna Williams out of Louisville, she's the one who did my diet and helped me with posing, her and her husband. As far as workouts, you know, I did all that myself, but they were a really big factor in my success. And that's why I never did a show, is I didn't have anybody to guide me, because I'm good with nutrition, but when it comes to bodybuilding diet, I'm not touching that. Like, I want somebody to tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yeah. It's so much easier that way. And so you did all your workout, your training for the prep?
Yes.
For the prep as well. So did you change that? Was it more of a power bodybuilding kind of thing, or was it just, you pretty much just stuck to power?
No, I did do my squat, deadlift, and bench like I normally did, but it was more volume, so it was kind of a power building outlook.
Gotcha.
And as soon as I did those main three lifts, I did them all up until about a month or so out. Like, I was a month out, and I remember benching 185 for, like, sets of 5 and 6, and here I was, like, 103 pounds at
that time.
That's
so crazy.
Yeah, I know. Like, I came back. If you do things correctly nutrition wise, you won't lose no strength at all doing a show. And a lot of people think you lose strength, but if you're on point in nutrition, you won't.
Yeah, I do feel that. Like there's, I do feel that you might temporarily have some lack of, you know, certain power you might have just because you don't have the fat around your joints the same way. You're probably, you know, you might be a little depleted. But exactly, like, if your diet is pretty much staying there, nutritionally, you shouldn't have too much problem either, like, sticking with it or going further.
Yeah, they kept carbs in my diet all the way up until the day before.
Wow, that's great. So they pulled it out right before, and then did you refeed, like, on the stage or, like, right before you sit the stage?
I just ate my normal meals. Okay. And sipping some water. I had a diuretic the night before. And then I did have a refeed, but it was just, like, very simple. We went to a steakhouse, but it was still very clean.
Right, right.
Not have a real, true refeed, cheat meal, whatever you want to call it, until after finals.
Yeah, I think that's important. I think people... and you need to test it out. So don't be eating a freaking pizza right before. Yep. You know, you haven't eaten pizza for like 8 weeks. What do you think is going to happen? You know, I've done a burger, but I was eating burgers. You know, I was a little sensitive to certain glutens. So sometimes I would take the bun out and, you know, or like just have some of it, but I'd rather have steak and potatoes, steak and rice, you know, those kind of things. But so the whole process of bodybuilding, was it a shock to you? Like, you know, learning how to pose, or did you have background with that, kind of being on stage before? Were you a gymnast? I feel like you might have been a gymnast.
No, I'm not flexible and coordinating that.
Okay.
I did pageant, so I did have.
Yes, I did see that.
Stage presence, being on stage did not bug me or scare me. It was, my biggest thing was the posing. I had no idea how to pose and start, and so they worked with me a lot with that. And honestly, I practiced so much. I mean, it was a lot more work than powerlifting. Cause I mean, I would wake up, do my cardio, eat, go to work, come back. When I get off work, at the end, I was doing cardio again. And then I would go through my posing routine, just go through my poses. And I was driving to Louisville every other weekend, and it was a whole lot, but it was worth it. So
do you think that you've learned anything, as far as with bodybuilding? Like, I feel like for me, I learned a lot more discipline with diet, and I was not nearly as shredded as you, you know, but all those years that I had done it, I felt like, really disciplined me for cracking down when I needed to, you know, I think a lot of people miss that, you know, and I bodybuilding to me is good and it's fun and it has its place. I do feel like sometimes if in the wrong hands, it can create a lot of problems. And I'm sure you've seen that, where I just feel like there's a lot of people who only have, you're on, right? So you're either bulking or you're cutting for a show. And that's how I felt like I was for a while, because I couldn't find a balance. So I was so restricted at some points that when I was done with my show, I was eating like none other. And I just, you know, it created this imbalance where I realized I had that, and I was like, what the hell am I doing, dude? This is not healthy. I mean, the whole reason I started off in fitness was to be healthier, because my father was sick. I wanted to create this path for myself where I practiced better habits, you know, and really a deeper meaning. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm over here like eating pizza, all like, you know, eating all this stuff right after the show, like not even caring. My stomach's killing me, and I'm still, you know, I didn't care. So that to me was an experience where I went like, ah, crazy, and then I came back to reality a little bit, and now I feel like I carry way more body fat. I don't think I'll ever do a show. I might when I'm older. You know, I just right now for me, powerlifting is, or strength, or performance based to me is much more satisfying, knowing that I can go out there and you either lift it or you don't. There's no real subjective, you know, there is going to be a slight subjective judging, of course, but not to the point of like, oh, I didn't like her hair color. You know, like, I think she shouldn't have short hair. You should keep your hair longer, and your suit should be more of a blue rather than a yellow, or whatever their reasoning is, you know? Do you think you're going to do a show again?
Well, with the situation Mark is in now, honestly, we've always talked about doing a show together. So I probably will do another show eventually in the future. Mm-hmm. My only thing is, though, I don't ever, like, plus two, I want to put on, I've had put some muscle on, and then I've also lost some in the process with everything that's happened. But I do want to put more muscle on, fill out, to see how much I've developed between the first show and another one.
Yes.
With everything that's happened with Mark, I know he probably, at this point, he eventually will get on stage. And that's kind of a goal we've had together, because we've done meets together before. Mm-hmm. And so I'll get back on stage eventually with him one day. And I'd like to see how much more development I have.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that's the one reason why I want to eventually do it, because since I've been powerlifting, it's been a whole change. To me, you know, structurally, how I look is so different. I never did any Well, I did powerlifting in the beginning, and then I went to bodybuilding, and I had a coach. And with my coach, they don't do that. You know, a bodybuilding coach will not have you back squatting, deadlifting, and benching. Not like that, you know. And I did miss those kind of things. So I'm curious, just like that. Like, I wonder how my body's developed. And it's interesting because you pretty much did powerlifting, and your physique was phenomenal. I would never say that your waist is thick, you know, and that's a big call out with people saying that deadlifting and powerlifting is not the way to go if you're going to gear up for a bodybuilding meet. But to me, you're a perfect example of that. Julia Ledoski, the one I was telling you about earlier, she's another example of that. I mean, she's mostly done, you know, that kind of powerlifting. And so do you feel like, have you seen a lot of differences in your body develop since the beginning? Like, where have you seen the biggest changes?
True. Well, before I lost some muscle and put some fat on with having my surgery and Mark and stuff, Mark was always obsessed with my arms and my shoulders. I had huge shoulder caps. I had massive triceps, you know, for my size, not, you know, all the way around, but for my size, you know, I did. And, that was that area. And then my back is an area that, you know, I've slowly over time seen some more development. Mm-hmm. And I've never really had a big booty, okay? And a lot of women like that. And I've never focused on making it grow, but I looked at a picture from 5 years ago to now, and I'm like, okay, it's grown.
Yeah, that's so funny. It's the same way with me. And I have a picture of me when I first started, and I was, you know, I had lost all the weight, and my butt was so flat. I was like, oh, my God.
The muscle group that has exploded the most on me, that was my hamstrings. It's where I was such a wide squatter for so long. Mm-hmm. I'm just hamstring dominant, and they are just huge. Yeah. And that helped me a lot on my show because that's the area most girls lack on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The back, anything in the back. You know, they always say that the shows are one in the back. And especially for women don't develop normally their hamstrings and their back as much as they should. And you know, this is a great way to kind of get into this. I had saw a post that you had made the other day, and it was a picture of you and your husband, and there had somebody who had said, oh, look, two men, LOL. Yeah. And you had wrote down, like, you know, I don't normally make a big deal about this. I just, you know, delete the comment. I block the person and then I move on with my way. So do you have comments like that about your body? Because you do, I would say right now you carry yourself softer. And in that photo, It's completely soft. I was thinking to myself, man, I've had photos where if I didn't have boobs and my face there, you could think it was like a dude, you know, where I was so shredded at one point. But in that photo, you were very soft. And so I was curious, do you get comments like that? And how has that been for you?
I don't get them much anymore because I've mainly kind of filtered those people out. Right. Instagram. Open though, you get those a lot more than like Facebook and stuff.
Yeah.
But the whole thing is, I made that post because I mean, I've seen bikini girls, and you know how a bikini girl look.
Mm-hmm.
They get comments like that. Oh, you're too manly, too much muscle. A bikini girl does not have too much muscle. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. So, but yeah, they're few and far between at this point. But yeah, at the beginning, there was a lot.
Have you had any resistance from family or anything like that, or people have ever told you anything negative about how you look?
Yeah, I think we all get the comments. I mean, really the only friends I have at this point are the girls in the gym. And I've got one friend who lives in Denver. But yeah, I mean, I've been told I'm too fat, I'm too skinny. And this is throughout my whole life, not just powerlifting, but too skinny, too fat. When I started putting muscle on, I had somebody in my family tell me that I better not put too much muscle on and get too big and stuff like that. I've been told... Yeah, mainly. I've got naturally kind of a lower voice anyways.
Me too.
And then, I mean, I don't know, just anything you can think of, for the most part, it's been said. When I first started powerlifting, it did bug me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started realizing other girls get treated the same way. Mm-hmm. Girls that make completely different than me.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, it's either from other women, sadly enough, but majority of time, it's from men. And I don't know if it's just men that have insecurities themselves, or what it is. But any person should respect the way that somebody wants to look and how they, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be putting anybody down. So.
Yeah. It's funny because I would never kind of reach out to a dude, I guess maybe because I am secure in my own body and accepting of other people's differences, I would never reach out to a dude and be like, dude, you are too skinny. You know, those kind of thoughts would never cross my mind. And I've gotten my share. I think I've gotten a few online, surprisingly not more. I would think that I would get more, but I know that that's a huge thing for a lot of women. And I think that I don't know if you're on the Facebook page, Powerlifting Women. They have comments like that. I swear I see something every week. And I like to read just kind of what other women are going through, because I feel like sometimes maybe we're in our own bubble, you know, like you're with your people who are accepting, who are cool, and you kind of, you know, don't really branch out of that too much. And I'm the same way. Like I have people here and I don't look that muscular, or people I think already assume and accept me as I am. Whereas if somebody's starting new and they're incorporating powerlifting and all these things into their life that are different and look manly, and they're lifting weights and they're using chalk and they're saying this and that, I feel like there's a lot of resistance for women. And surprisingly, it's like mothers and aunts. Yep. And I know that that might be a generational thing. And I feel very lucky that my mom is like, shows my pictures. She's like, my daughter is strong. And she is like, out there, look at this, is 315 pounds. Like, you know, I get a lot of positive reinforcement from my family. So I do feel like, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of have to put your head down, mm-hmm. do what you love, and say, fuck everybody else. Like, you know, that's not going to be helpful for me, you know? And I've learned to kind of like not be angry anymore. Like there were times where I'm like, ugh, you know, I was motivated a lot by anger, but now it's kind of like, I let that go and like, hey, they are who they are, you know, and I can't do anything about that.
And something that I've noticed too, that the people who make these comments or they send you messages, it's when I say, just remove the comment and block them, is because it's better off being done that way. Because I've seen from experience from other women and their posts, and even myself, and the thing is, if I make a comment and I tag any of the guys in the gym, they're just all gonna flood on that person.
Right.
And these people, though, it's like they look for an argument. They want to keep doing that. So if you just don't give them the time of day, it's better off on both ends.
100%. Those people like to troll. They want that reaction. And in the end, I always look at it at the end. In the end, after everything is said and done, you know, if after all the brothers get involved or whatever, did anything change? You know,
no.
Their mind isn't changed. You know, now you guys are all just pissed. And now it just kind of reinforces that like anger towards that kind of thing. And that's it. It's like nothing has changed, but it probably has made you more angry, probably wasted time during your day. And that's how you said, like, I'm not going to give these people any more of my time. Like, that's just not what I want to do. And I think that's an important thing. And it's almost hard to take the high road, you know, and just not say anything sometimes. And I find myself saying that a lot to my kids now, like, hey, and I never thought I would say this, but you know, like if you don't have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything at all. You know, it doesn't have to be in that. And it's also with a response. Like you don't have to give them that power, you know, because they want that. And you're worth more than that. So it's just let that go. And it's funny because my husband's the opposite. My husband be like, oh no, you want to fight? It's going down. Like, he's a very resistant, in a good way. I think sometimes I will take a step back. And then he will be like, no, you need to put your foot down for certain things. And, you know, I'm like, you're right. You know, and I think that's a good balance, but it's funny. But when I saw that post, I was like, you know, it's interesting that you would still get that. So, and even how you look now, but I think there's a lesson to be learned the way that you handled that. And that was really great. But, before we wrap everything up, is there anything happening with you guys in the future? Like, are your gyms going to be doing anything? Do you have any more meets coming up? I know you just had a meet for, you know, your husband and everything. What's going to be in the future for Iron Mafia and your family?
So we already basically have the schedule for the next year ready. It's just not everything's finalized. Going to all the normal places. One of the big thing is, though, we are going to be a part of the Kentucky Open this year and do the powerlifting. Nice. Yeah, so that will be in Lexington in August. That's going to be a big one because it's actually our first legit expo.
Wow.
And that will be fun. And I've already got people, like, we posted about that in August of this year, and people are already wanting to sign up. So what I tell people are two Lexington meets, Beast of the Bluegrass, Kentucky Open, and then our two Louisville meets. When we post those, you got to get on the ball and sign up because they fill up very fast, usually within less than 2 months sometimes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, the Kentucky, not Kentucky Open, but the Beast of Bluegrass, it was sold out we hosted it in January and it was in April and it was sold out in January.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, so there's that. And then we got some new shirts that were released on ironmafia.net. And that's also, we have a link on there that has all of the powerlifting meets for next year that's already open for registration. And then as far as on a personal level, once, you know, my husband gets better and can drive and stuff like that, and we can be kind of normal, we are wanting to open up our own commercial personal gym.
Yes.
In our little hometown, because it's always kind of been a dream of mine. And I think just kind of meeting my husband, everything's kind of just happened for a reason, and mm-hmm. and everything that I've ever wanted kind of started happening. And so it's like he was meant for me.
I agree. And I see some of the posts you guys have, and I just, there's just something really sweet about you two. It seems like such a connection, you know, and I don't often see that sometimes. I think even on his end, that's what makes it so beautiful. And I think a lot of men, you know, they don't always voice that. And he's a very, you know, masculine man. So you wouldn't assume he would be like, oh, you know, my wonderful love, you know, like in these pictures of you two smooching. It's just really cute. But I'm excited for you. That's, I mean, taking on a gym, you know, for us was, we have a very small gym, but it's a big learning experience, you know, and I think it's amazing that, you know, you can take this opportunity to do what you want. You know, there's yeah. really, it's almost like having, you know, your gym in your parents, your in-laws place, but it's sure. better.
With the gym that we have, you know, it's not strictly powerlifting, but that's what everybody comes there for. And it's a private gym, stuff like that. Super cheap, $15 a month. So that way, you know, cause we have people that drive up to 2 hours to come here sometimes once a week.
Wow.
To train, because for the longest time in this area, we was the only place that had a monolift. And it's even more than that, like places that have been getting monolifts, like, yeah, people will go train there. But at the end of the day, the people in our gym, they want to come to ours because of the atmosphere and the support and stuff like that. And that's the originally, you know, the reason I wanted to come to begin with. But I don't know, like, it's just amazing to see how much it's grown, because in my hometown, which is about 30 minutes from here, you know, when I first started powerlifting, nobody wanted to do that. It's strictly a bodybuilding town, or fit chick town, whatever you want to call it. But, and that it's being nice. I mean, I work at a supplement store. So I deal with all walks of life. I deal with CrossFitters, MMA, everything. CrossFit's actually gotten pretty big over there, but there's actually places that have monoliths now. And that wasn't a thing when I actually lived there, and I wish it would have been.
Right. Right. And I think that just pushes the progression, how powerlifting has really kind of taken off. And that's awesome. You know, I kind of want to come to the open. Like, I was going to do my very first show was going to be the Kentucky Muscle, in 2010 or 2011. And I had to pull out because we were PCSing. PCSing is a military term when you're going from one place to another. We were PCSing from Hawaii, where I'm from, to Missouri. And we just had, it was just, I think I was like crossing my fingers that I could still make it work. But it was like literally the week before, you know, our house was like still getting our stuff. It was just too crazy. And so it wouldn't have worked out. And now that was going to be the first show I was going to go to. But yeah, that, I mean, Kentucky's got a big, big movement for a lot of that. I feel like it's sort of like the hidden place in the South that it's very popular. I didn't realize that until I moved out here.
Yeah, strength sports are extremely popular, because the other one that we did, the Beast of the Bluegrass, that one is actually a strongman competition as well. So we got strongman, powerlifting, and I know one year they had, last year they had CrossFit, and then Moss Wrestling another year. Kentucky is, I mean, we're not just bourbon and horses. We are definitely, and Kentucky basketball, we're definitely pretty big into strength sports, because I know multiple people that will switch back and forth, whether it be bodybuilding and powerlifting or strongman and powerlifting. But I like strongman. I grew up watching it. I'm just way too petite of a person to try to attempt it.
See, that's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah, there's certain events that I can do, but I grew up watching that on like ESPN.
Yes.
So that's kind of, I guess, what intrigued me in the beginning to even lift was strongman. But powerlifting is definitely more suited for me.
Yeah. I love training strongman, you know, so I was doing some training when I was in El Paso. Some of the guys out there, fabulous, nice people out there. And they were like, hey, you should just try it. You know, they were at the gym. So I started yoke walking, farmer carries. That was the first time I ever really did like a heavy farmer carry or sled drag. And I was like, this is so exciting. I love it. But yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm 5'1". And, you know, like some of my shows, I was 5 feet, And I'm like, how am I 5 feet? And then I was at the last show, I was 5'2". I'm like, I didn't really shrink that much, but it's, so I'm always in this petite frame. And I always think like, I could still do it, but you know, I mean, how competitive would I be? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like, then am I doing it just for the love? Yeah. But do I love it that much? I don't know. Maybe I love to train it enough where I'll put it into my program, but I don't know if I'm going to actually compete it, cause I wouldn't be that competitive.
Yeah. To up my cardiovascular, health and skills, like if I'm not in prep for a powerlifting meet and I don't want to do traditional cardio all the time, or people who don't like cardio, I definitely will tell them get some Farmer Carries, or you know, just get some 5-pound weights and use them, get a yoke, you know, a log press, that kind of stuff surprisingly will help you so much going into a powerlifting prep, because I did a lot of that stuff, I guess you can say, on the per se off season. I mean, I don't really have an off season, but I did a lot of that stuff, and when it goes into meat prep mode and I'm here, I am trying to do reps for something that's at like 75%, you know, my breathing is 10 times better than if I didn't do that kind of stuff.
100%. You know, it's every, I've been slacking off since we opened the gym this past year. My husband makes fun of my conditioning now, because when I was in figure, I was like, you know, conditioning bunny, you know, it's like, you're doing all the lifting, but you're doing hella conditioning, and I was doing all kind of stuff, and that was never a problem for me. Now it's like, he's like, are you getting winded? Like walking back and forth with these kettlebells. And I'm like, yeah, just a little bit. He's like, you better up your conditioning game, girl.
I got to walk, you know, maybe, let's see, 75 yards, not even 75, 50 yards to take my kid to the bus stop and back, just because the house is on a hill and I got to walk, kind of walk down and stuff like that. And when I get in the mornings, I'm like kind of breathing and I'm air that's making it hard to breathe, but I know it's the fact that I've not been doing anything.
Right. Isn't that funny? But you know, I think this is going to be probably a great point for you, because like after I was pregnant, had my baby, I went through, I had like complications after the week after. So it pushed back my recovery to like 2 months. I was freaked out. I was like, dude, I don't want to like bleed out. Like, I don't want to push anything. Not that that would have happened. It was totally because of my placenta that was still in there. And so my body was trying to pull it all out. But when I came back, I was like, you know, I was squatting 195. And it was, you know, I have videos and I look at myself. But I feel like when you come out of a time when maybe you're just not as conditioned, you're now you have higher body fat, then you're going to see some massive gains, because now your body is adapted to this. So when you add that stimulus in there, whatever else you're going to have, it's going to be like, whoa, what's going on? And it's going to, you're going to have that almost that newbie effect again, you know, it's going to be, that'll be, but now you're going to be the newbie with more muscle, you know, and all the, you know, the neurological, you know, training that you've done, all of that is going to be there so that you can get back into it really easy.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. A little nervous, because I'm not gonna lie, I have some flashbacks of work and stuff, you know. Getting into the squat bar, kind of still, I'm not saying I'm scared of it, it's just kind of, it's, you know, the memory embedded in my head.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long it'll take me, but I know as far as when I get started back to training, it's gonna take me probably a good 6 weeks to really be like, okay, my body's getting used to this again.
Right.
So, but you're right, it is gonna be like newbie strength all over again, except I already know how to do it all as far as the form and stuff like that. So yeah. I don't know. My body really did need a break. And so I think everything truly just happens for a reason. And as far as the future for not just me and Mark, but our mafia, you know, I don't know exactly everything that's going to happen, but I just definitely think it's a new chapter for all of us.
Well, I'm very thankful that you shared your story with me. And I think that a lot of women who are going to be listening are going to, you know, I think they'll have a little bit of themselves in what you've said and your experience and my experience. I feel like that's a lot of women. They've gone through different things like this. And I don't think anybody would say anything if you never stepped on the platform again. You know, it's definitely one of those things where you've 12 meets in 5 years, 1,000 total, 5-something Wilks. I mean, that's a lot. You've done a lot. And then in the short time that you have done it, and I can see that you guys are going to have a bright future. And I will put everything in the show notes. So I'll put your Iron Mafia website in there. What is any kind of Instagram? What is your Instagram handle and all that kind of stuff?
My Instagram is just Shayna, S-H-A-N-A, 3_Miller. And then the one that my husband runs, which is for the gym and the meets, is Iron Mafia_4Bros Gym.
Wonderful. I'll add all of that in there and, I'll make it so people are easy to find you. I need to get that shirt the one you're wearing right now. I saw you wearing it with your husband when you were taking a picture. I was like, that is dope. I love that. Yeah. Did you guys design it yourself?
Yes and no. We have a company, a shirt company out of Somerset called Good Brothers Inc. Very creative. And they're actually, one of the guys used to be a wrestler. So, which is kind of cool, but yeah, they're very friendly, but they're also very artistic, and we just kind of give them ideas and then they just run with it. So they're the ones that kind of, you know, for the most part created these. But this shirt right here, very, very soft, thin, but not like see-through thin,
right.
But it's comfy. And that's another thing. I mean, not only do we take pride in our meats, we take pride in the shirts that we do too, because we want top of the line, top of the quality. We don't want them to shrink. So
yeah, I'm the same way. Like, and I don't want to just wear like some shirt I just bought at a meet. You know, sometimes they're all like, you know, I'm not going to wear that. Like, I want to wear something that I'll wear out because it's comfy. And so that, you know, the few shirts that we do have for our gym, it's always like that. I want a quality one.
So what I do is like the three new shirts that we have right now and I have, I don't want to wear them to the gym to work out. I just want to wear them to wear them out and wear them to meet and stuff because they're nice. Like, it's sad to the point. I used to never wear t-shirts because I was not comfortable in t-shirts. Now I am.
Right.
Too little. I was too skinny.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm comfortable and I'm confident in t-shirts. But I've got like t-shirts from 2 years ago. Those are my gym shirts. And then new shirts I get from like Live Large or Strong House. And Strong House sponsors me and Morgan. I really should be wearing them, but I don't want to because I don't want to ruin them. I have like nice t-shirts and like gym t-shirts now.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's great. So yeah, so you are sponsored by Strong House Project as well. And I'll put that in there. I know you have I think your code is like Miller15. Yeah, so if you guys want to check out some awesome clothes from Strong House, go to Strong House Project. They're also on Instagram and online. So we'll have that all in the show notes. And Shayna, thank you again. And I really appreciate you taking this time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.